Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me as we continue on in a message I've been sharing this week, the vision of the Lord. That is something we personally need, and we were referencing, as far as the scriptural text, the 6th chapter of Isaiah, where Isaiah declared, "I saw the Lord, and He was high and lifted up. His train filled the temple." But when he had this experience, remember, he had been a prophet to the king. He had been ministering, and as recorded in those first 5 chapters, to the people of Israel. He was prophesying, he was speaking the word and the will of the Lord. But when he had this experience, because when Uzziah died, whatever relationship they had, he was basically alone. He had to have, it was a time, a season in his life that God ordained that he should move in a deeper realm and a revelation of the glory of the God that he served and spoke in behalf of. And so it's the same today, beloved. It takes the light of the presence of Jesus to reveal the evil of the human heart. What happened when he saw the Lord? He said, "I'm undone. Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I'm living among a people that have unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And in his case, an angel came, took a live coal off the altar, touched it to his lips, his iniquity was cleansed. Thank God. But that was the Old Testament. But today, if we can have an experience with Jesus, his precious blood that he shed for us cleanses us from our iniquity. We don't need a coal off the altar of God. We have that precious blood that washes whiter than snow, as we used to sing. And so it takes the light of the presence of Jesus to reveal our true status, our true nature. And every person, you know, we're born under sin. It's only the blood of Jesus, our accepting Him as Savior, where we become transformed, are born into the kingdom of God, and become a new creature. No matter how good someone might be, ethical, unless they are washed in the blood, beloved, they are still a sinner. Even though they might receive commendation and they would, by appearance, seem to be the most wonderful of people. Human nature every human that has ever been born has been affected by the original sin of our first parents. The only thing that will save that, remember, Jesus made that promise to Adam and Eve. There is a Redeemer coming, a Messiah coming, and he spoke of restoration, and that gave something. It didn't happen in their lifetimes, for sure, but in the fullness of time, Jesus was born into the world. And unless we have that light in a personal way and experience it, if someone's unsaved, they could remain content in their sin, satisfied in their iniquity. But sin, beloved, is recognized only when the light of the holiness of God is turned upon it. When you turn on a light, when you go into a room, and perhaps could be the bathroom, you gaze into your mirror, what do you see? You see a vision or picture of yourself. But the unsaved, when the Holy Spirit is moving on them, they don't need a sermon to tell them what the light and mirror of God so graphically reveals. You know, one might have preached to Isaiah for hours about his being a man of unclean lips and dwelling among a people of unclean lips, but what might his response have been? You know, he could have just shrugged his shoulders and said, that can't refer to me. I'm a good living man. I'm a prophet of the Lord. I'm an honest and sincere servant of the Lord. But when he saw the Lord, he knew better. It was the light that revealed the darkness in his own heart. And beloved, it's the light of Christ that's going to reveal the darkness in our own hearts. I'm not speaking condemnation, beloved. Again, I'm speaking to Christians. Isaiah was a prophet of the Lord. He recognized that he was falling far short of the glory of God. It was the holiness of God which reveals uncleanness. It was God's purity that revealed to Isaiah his sin. He didn't really know himself until he saw the Lord. And you know what? That's true of each one of us. There's nothing like a vision of his face to make one die to self-righteousness. There's nothing like the look in his eyes to kill, if you will, the pride of mind and heart. Sometimes we get satisfied with ourselves. Sometimes we think, well, you know, I'm doing pretty good. We kind of pat ourselves on the head, personally, privately, of course. But beloved, when we see him, we not only behold him, but for the first time, we begin to see ourselves as we are and not as we may have thought ourselves to be. Not only did Isaiah see the Lord, but what does the word say? It said he saw him high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And that is where he belongs. He is the king, the sovereign king of our hearts and lives. And if you don't make him king of all, well, as that saying goes, he will not be king at all. But happy is the man who's crowned him king and turned over the government of his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. So many of us struggle on our pathway of serving the Lord. We try to live a Christian life. We try to embody Christian ideals and incorporate into our words and deeds the teachings of Jesus. But have you found you just can't do it? It's ineffectual. No man can live the Christian life. It's basically impossible. And so we try, we struggle, but beloved, it's the only one who's ever lived the true life of Christ is Christ himself. And the true Christian life is the one that Christ alone can live. These may be familiar words, beloved. You may have heard them in endless sermons, but it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's only Christ living in and through us that we can live a victorious Christian life. That's why we crown him king. We don't set him in the heavens as a pattern. We don't think of him as he used to be and endeavor to make our lives like him. Rather, we must invite him to come and dwell in his fullness through the power of the Holy Spirit in our blood-washed spirits, in our hearts, and rule and reign there in power and in love. This, beloved, is the secret of successful Christian living. There is a glory to a life that is hid with Christ in God. None of us have arrived there yet. We're working on it. We're sincere. We're trying. And God loves and appreciates that. But we have to realize it's not what we can do. He sees things in us that we don't see. It's the beauty of Jesus shining forth from consecrated eyes, from lips that testify to the experience of the heart. It is no longer I. How many times have you heard that? It's no longer I, but Christ who liveth in me. Well, have we really experienced that, though? Have we really died to self? Beloved, no earthly king can show, as Jesus did, such tender interest in his subjects. Never was there a king, a monarch, like the Lord Jesus. He was and is willing to reign upon the throne of our hearts. For the riches of his grace are far more valuable, beloved, than all the wealth of earthly kings, all the material richness of this earth. You can't buy what Jesus offers. You can only surrender in love. You can only wait before him and receive from him. Oh, beloved, if we would only really let him rule, if we could only recognize that the government, not of the world and of the nation, is on his shoulders, but for our lives as well, so many of our foolish fears and worries and anxieties would disappear like the darkness before the rising of the sun. And in that place would be the gift of his peace and beauty and His trust would be reign supreme in our heart. Hallelujah. You know, there was a song, an old hymn in the 70s. We used to sing simple choruses and the hymns occasionally. I always loved, "All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and make him Lord of all." Beloved, we need to make him king anew and afresh. We need to crown him Lord of all. And we need to make the surrender so complete that the burdens that you're bearing today and the sorrows you've known will turn into a divine peace by his touch. He knows you better than you know yourself. He understands your problems. He knows your perplexities. He alone can see down the dark corridors of the future. He alone knows the secret of your tomorrows. Make him king. Let him rule and reign in you, and the darkness will turn to light, and the wilderness and barrenness of soul will, as the desert, bloom and blossom as the rose. And I believe we can get a foretaste of his glorious reign, the millennial reign. He's coming back when we crown him king of our hearts and lives. So, beloved, let's make him king. Let's turn the government of our lives over to him anew and afresh. Let him run things. He is willing. He'll do it better than us, far better than we could ever do, no matter how great or sincere our struggles are. Father, we ask you to grant it in Jesus' name. We ask you to move in our lives. Lord, help us to surrender in a way we've never understood before. We may have done it countless times, consecrating our lives, our efforts to you. But Lord, give us a vision of Jesus as Uzziah did. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. Transform us, Lord, by the power of your anointing. Cause, Lord, the carnal man, the flesh nature, to be consumed in the power of God. And let us bring forth the perfection of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and all the things that exemplify our precious Savior. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, beloved, my time is gone. It's been a blessing to minister to you this week. And we'll see what the Lord has next week. We might even continue a little bit because I just sense the Lord's hand heavy on this message that is something we all need, not just to hear, but to experience. And I'll be praying that way. Thank you for joining me. And if you have prayer needs, I invite you to write. The announcer will share our contact information. Until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,